this grant is being used to pay for K through 14 ag educators to come to campus in June. There are three different workshops in June over the course of the next 4 years. And those K through 14 ag educators can attend a hydraulics 101 fundamentals class. They could choose to apply for the advanced hydraulics class, or they could choose to apply for a powertrains class. And so the workshop fees are paid with the USDA grant, as well as an $800 stipend that would help offset their travel costs for traveling to Southeast Kansas to attend.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. A robust return on your sorghum investment is not just a dream. Learn more at doubleteamsorghum.com. KWS Hybrid Rye, seeding the future since 1856. Get up and running fast with CNH Reman fully manufactured parts. Visit mycnhreman.com.
Welcome to Crop Science Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Brian Arnell, and I'm coming to you from the campus of Oklahoma State University. Today, we have on a pair of gentlemen, which I'm excited to visit with, Dr. Tim Dell, Professor, Diesel and Heavy Equipment Coordinator, and Dr. Chauncey Pennington, Associate Professor. Both these guys are at Pitt State University, and we're going to talk about some of their work they're doing associated with the NIFA grant and just working at Pitt State and their activities. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we'll start with Tim and then move to Chauncey. Give everybody a little bit of your bio, you know, just that 30-second, how'd you end up at Pitt State?
Sure. So I attended Pitt State as a student, and upon graduation, I actually went to Case IH in Racine, Wisconsin, and I was a troubleshooter. My product was mainly axial flow combines. We also, in my group, took inquiries on four-wheel drive, ag tractors and cotton and some other products. But after working there for a couple, 2.5 years, then I migrated back to Pittsburgh State. So I've been here, this is my 26th year at Pitt State. And so I teach hydraulics, advanced hydraulics, automatic transmissions, electrical electronics, construction equipment systems. And I don't know if I said automatic transmissions, but that's kind of the gist of it. And I also write textbooks for Goodhart Wilcox, specifically a hydraulic textbook, as well as a powertrain textbook as well.
Fantastic. Chauncey?
Well, I'm Chauncey Pennington. Been here at Pittsburgh State University now 9 years. I'm also a graduate of Pitt State through the automotive program and emphasis in diesel heavy equipment. When I graduated out of Pitt State, I took a little different turn from the diesel and heavy equipment world and was actually an instructor for a community college for their motorcycle training program for a little bit, and then had an opportunity to go work for John Deere and working with John Deere with their ag tech program and did technician training, and I did that for 7 years. And then about the end of that 7 years, I had the opportunity to come back to Pittsburgh State, and we had a faculty that was retiring here in diesel and heavy equipment, and so came back to here. And so now I teach everything from failure analysis, manual transmissions. I teach our ag powertrains classes. I teach our diesel engines classes. And I think that's pretty much my main focus these days is between the diesel and ag is where I'm at here. So,
did you know that on average you lose approximately one bushel an acre during harvest? Header loss and threshing loss due to wear and tear on your equipment can lessen your yield and profits. CNH Reman Wear Parts is a drop-in ready solution made from high-quality steel that lasts longer than the competition and is covered by an industry-leading 24-month warranty. CNH Reman is helping farmers have on-time delivery of their harvest. Visit your local Case IH or New Holland dealership for details.
So can one of you give just a little bit of background? You know, where's Pittsburgh State at? Where is that located? And what's the university's main drivers? What is Pittsburgh State known for?
Hey, that's a great question. So we're located in Southeast Kansas, and we have probably 5,500 students in a small town, about 20,000 people in Southeast Kansas. And we're one of a few regional schools in the state. we're housed, our program is actually part of the School of Automotive and Engineering Technology, and that's one of three schools that's housed inside of the Crossland Technology Center. There's about four schools on campus. Our curriculum is actually part of the automotive bachelor's degree.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I got to say, when I saw the two of you and Pitt State jump up, I was pretty excited. So I was born and raised in Northeast Oklahoma. So I've done many a camps and other things at Pitt State over the years going up in there. And so very familiar with Pittsburgh State and a great school, great university. A lot of good applied folks come out of there and really hit the job market running hard. I always look forward to visiting with Pitt State grads. jumping into one of the big reasons that we're bringing you on and wanting to learn more about is that you guys have written a USDA grant. So USDA NIFA grant, which are pretty big grants focusing on K through 14 education. Can you talk a little bit about that grant?
Right. So this grant is being used to pay for K through 14 ag educators to come to campus in June. There are three different workshops in June over the course of the next 4 years. And those K through 14 ag educators can attend a Hydraulics 101 Fundamentals class. They could choose to apply for the Advanced Hydraulics class, or they could choose to apply for a powertrains class. And so the workshop fees are paid with the USDA grant, as well as an $800 stipend that would help offset their travel costs for traveling to Southeast Kansas to attend.
That's fantastic. So have you done a workshop yet, or you're launching year one?
So that's a great question. Technically, this is the second USDA grant related to it. Related to that, I had previously taught several workshops. They're actually facilitated through the Kansas Center for Career and Technical Education. So I've taught 19 workshops for them. I've actually taken them on the road as well. But previously, the first USDA grant allowed us to purchase some high quality trainers that are used during the workshops. And this specific grant actually pays for the fees, which happens to be a large barrier for folks to be able to have access to get into the actual workshop. So, and we still have seats, and we'd be happy to share that information with anybody that would like to be a candidate for attending those.
Absolutely. And we're going to get to that. I guess I got a couple more questions, and I would really want to get to how do we learn more. But just curiosity, as I told you guys on the intro, I just follow random. It's like rabbit trails. You say something, I find it fascinating. So what's the distribution look like as you look at the educators in terms of who are they teaching? You know, how many high school, how many, I'm assuming you're 13 and 14 would be the JUCOs, like NEO A&M, which I'm an alum of. So that's the 13 and 14, right? Those giving certificates and associate degrees.
Right. So right now, the in terms of the folks who have signed up and are coming to campus, I would say probably maybe 70% are probably the JUCO technical programs, and probably the remaining balance would probably be the secondary 7 through 12 type educators.
Like ag teachers or just a cross discipline of that?
I'd say across discipline. So technically, really, to be approved for this, that we have to be able to show that those instructors have their students enter the ag industry. And so ag educators, ag equipment educators, just diesel heavy equipment where their students go to work in the ag industry.
Now, is this, and I think you mentioned it and I missed it, is this limited to Kansas educators only, or can it go across? Because you're awfully close to Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma, so.
Yeah, great question. So, no, it's for the whole U.S., and we've had folks all across the country. We've reached out to numerous different schools, just hundreds and hundreds of different educators we've reached out to, but we still have some seats open.
What time of year does this take place?
Yeah, this is the last 3 weeks of June. So, it starts with the Hydraulic 101 class, then the second week which would be the third week, would be the advanced hydraulics class. And then the last week of June would be the powertrains class.
So now we're getting there. How do people find out more about these workshops? Do you have a website, or where's the best way to find out?
Well, they could honestly just contact me directly if they needed to at tdell@pittstate.edu. We also have the Kansas Center for Career and Technical Education. We have that website. And then I'd be happy to share the specific link to the workshop application process as well.
So can you kind of break down the what it would be like to go through these workshops? What's that format? What should participants expect? And then some of the outputs.
Oh, that's fantastic. So we have lots of high quality lab experiences that the participants are going to participate in. So within the very first hour, we're going to be up out of our seat, headed over to the hydraulic boards and applying just very, very quickly what we're in. So I would say we rotate in and out of the classroom very, very quickly, where folks will be assembling hydraulic systems and then physically running those systems. And of course, they'll create their own bugs accidentally when they're building these, and they'll be learning the fundamentals. And so specifically, the first workshop I teach out of the first half of my hydraulics textbook. The second workshop I teach out of the second half of my textbook. And they gain the fundamentals and the teaching strategies that they can take back to their students. They can bring, you know, their cameras, their laptops. They can video record. So, for instance, our overrunning hydraulic cylinders, they have a cavitation sight glass on it. And so if they want to video record the actual cavitation that's occurring on an overrunning load when that cylinder runs away, then they can physically record that. We have a graduated cylinder, and we can actually send oil into that graduated cylinder. So instead of just trying to think about the fluid running through the actual lines, you'll physically get to see it. So like when you charge an accumulator, and you wonder, well, I wonder if that accumulator's charged. We can dump that accumulator into that graduated cylinder so they can physically see the volume that's inside of there. We have equipment, we have tractors, we have flow meters, so we'll run machines as well. We'll center hydrostatic drives, and it's definitely a hands-on experience.
Okay, so now you got something interesting to me. So you're teaching with some of the best equipment possible to teach with. I'm also assuming you're also teaching how to teach similar concepts with less than top shelf equipment.
Yeah, that was what I was going to add is we were going to bring up with way that some of the methods that we're going to use and how they can adapt them to what they have in their systems and equipment and kind of give them a base and an idea of what they can take back to their school and be able to run with it.
So Chauncey, can you give an example of that? Something you guys have that is would be considered, you know, top of the line as far as the process they're seeing in your workshop versus what you would translate into a high school ag shop or a JUCO?
Well, one of the things that we look at is you know, one of the trainers that we use is a Bosch hydraulic trainer, which is very expensive and very hard to get, and not everybody's going to have that opportunity. But they may have some other brands, like an Amitral board or some of these others, and being able to take some of the labs that Dr. Dell's developed and be able to run with those in that scenario. And also in certain applications, obviously being able to use it on different tractors and equipment and things like that they may have back at the ag shop, back at their home school.
I'll follow that up. So as we go through this and we're looking at this, I assume you guys are teaching in module format. So are those for different classes, or is it every student in the workshop is getting all the types of trainings, or can they pick and choose what would best suit them to go back into their home environment?
So the actual curriculum is very focused on all 3 weeks. It's very specific. So everybody's going to receive the same instruction for which workshop they sign up. So if they sign up for the basic hydraulics class, we're going to cover about the first half of the hydraulics textbook of what would be the fundamentals that everybody has to know. So they're going to learn, you know, obviously the safety, they'll learn the fundamentals of fluid power principles. Then we'll jump into pumps. We'll jump into then actuators, motors, and cylinders. And then we'll get into the three different types of control valves. And over the course, they're 4 days long, each of these workshops are. And over the course of those 4 days, we're going to be applying all of those principles and giving them tips on how they can take that back to their school so that the students can have that aha moment.
Fantastic. Do you guys have any more on the NIFA grant? I've got some other stuff I'd like to visit with about it, but if you have any more things you'd like to share about the grant and these workshops.
We've summed it up pretty well. So it's 4 years. And so we have 12 seats that are funded for each one, the basic hydraulics, 12 seats for the advanced hydraulics, and 12 seats for the powertrains. And we're going to offer those every June for the next 4 years.
Fantastic. I want to kind of get back into what you guys do at Pittsburgh State University and you know, kind of discuss that. And so, Dr. Pennington, you know, for me, this is an opportunity to kind of do the sales because, you know, we all as professors do sales to bring students in and show. So, you know, what is it that the students, your students leave at Pitt State, Pittsburgh State University come out with that is unique and valuable in what you're delivering?
Well, the big thing that I feel that we do a very good job is we send every student out of here with a very good foundation. And so, depending on where they land, if it's working at a dealership or going out to work for a company like Case New Holland or Case Industrial, they have a very good foundation that once they go to work, they're not going to feel like that they're the small person in the room. They're going to have some confidence behind them to be able to pick up and run, you know, very quickly once they get to the job. And so a lot of our graduates, they'll go to work anything from being a technician at a dealership to they may work in management at that dealership to working as a troubleshooter for a corporation to they may also go into management or sales. And so a lot of what we do, it's a lot of cross training through those different areas. It's, you know, and so students, I feel like that they leave here and we always hear from the folks that come and hire our graduates of how strong our students are when they go to work. So,
and I know you said twice that you feel like it from an outside looking in, knowing your students, you guys should know more than, I mean, you do a great job of providing a student product, which has hands-on experience, knowledgeable and comfortable jumping into the pits pretty quickly. And so I've always admire the students that Pitt State puts out. And I've known several, you know, being in that area, I know several grads of Pitt State, the program. So kudos for all of that. Talk about a little bit about how do you get these students that experience, right? So, you know, universities are challenged sometimes with the book versus hands-on. How do you blend the true training and book learning?
We like to try to have the motto is every day is a lab day. And so we try to take every single opportunity we possibly can to get into the lab as fast and as often as we possibly can. And honestly, we prefer that they can experience their own mistakes out there in the lab so that they can remember and retain those learning processes for the rest of their life. And so you just honestly have to kind of pick a subject and with each one, we could kind of rattle off all the different exercises. So when Chauncey's teaching failure analysis, they're out in the lab physically looking at failed components and they're having to diagnose what was the actual root cause of that failed component. So when I'm teaching hydrostatic drives, we're not going to just talk about how to center a hydrostatic pump. We're going to physically do that and go through the process of what can go wrong and the safety provisions related to that, and as well as all the different intricacies of the diagnostics. And honestly, I think it's a good goal for all instructors that when those students leave the actual institution, that they actually be able to educate the person that is interviewing them so that whoever's interviewing them can say, oh my goodness, this is good. I'm glad I was able to interview you because I'm going to learn just in the process of the actual interview. And we learn from our students as well, and we're excited to learn from our students. That's probably some of the most fun we actually have is when we can actually learn from our own students. So it's fun for us. It's kind of like our own toy house where we have all this cool equipment that we get to go out and play with every day.
Well, I think you brought up something interesting because both of you have been doing this a bit. You know, none of us are necessarily spring chickens. So as you look at the teaching, if I look back, so I've been on faculty since 08, and I've gone through a couple of I was teaching before that. But going through that, how has the teaching in your field changed since you started?
It's changed a lot.
Yeah. Do you want to take
a Well, the biggest thing that I've probably seen out of the whole progression through this in the last 15 years or so is just, you know, a lot of the diesel and heavy equipment students that we had, you know, would come in knowing something about diesel and heavy equipment or farm background or ag background. And as the world changes and we become more modernized and things like that, we see less and less of students that come in with that base knowledge. And so, you know, it here a few years ago, we just kind of had an epiphany like, hey, you know, some of these kids may not even know what a fuel filter looks like or where you find that. And so we take them out and do something just as simple as just, you know, getting familiar with engines, equipment, knowing what these components are so they don't feel like they're behind or intimidated, trying to make them more at ease when they get into the lab or going when they go to work.
That's a solid point. I teach a precision ag course and we do a lot of yield monitor data, you know, the data analytics and that, and how does yield monitor work? Well, I found out last 10 years, I have to describe what a combine is and talk about how does a combine work before I can talk about yield data, because we talk about error points in that process. And we spend a day breaking down from header to feeder house, and we just have to walk through that process. Where 15, 20 years ago, they knew what combines, it filled cultivators. I didn't have to go through that. And so, yeah, what do you think's driving folks that get an interest in doing diesel mechanics but don't have that background?
Well, it's a very good career and there's solid salaries and wages to be made in this, and the demand is super high, you know. And the other big side of it is it seems like we're more of an industry that's always needed, and the economy can go up or down and things can change, and we're still pretty solid as far as need folks in whichever level that the students want to go out to. And so I think that's probably one of the coolest parts about this is it is stable. It's always needed, and it makes the students kind of feel good to know that they're getting into something that is going to have some years behind it.
How has the addition of so much computer technology within the engine realm changed, at least what you guys do? Has it changed much? Or, you know, I look now and there's so much computer tied to all engine activities.
Yeah, and the emissions side of things is obviously a big piece, and it's not just changing hard parts and rebuilding engines anymore. It's trying to understand the chemistry and exactly what's happening as far as the air that goes into the engine and how it gets combusted and the air that goes out. And so that's a challenge in trying to make sure that students are up to date in understanding on what that technology is. And you know, what's been also a kind of a change on that whole situation is we kind of went through the Wild West on how certain manufacturers did things. And now it seems like we're kind of finally starting to stabilize that most manufacturers kind of mirror what each other do. And so that's kind of helped as well. But yeah, the technology, the data bus side of things and the electronics, and you know, we're teaching more with scopes and trying to understand how to catch the glitches on things versus just, oh, well, you know, the engine's wore out, let's rebuild it. No, let's find out what's causing these problems.
Kind of in the framework of students coming in without backgrounds, I would be curious of the two of yours takes on, is it easier or harder to get a student to the end that has a lot of background or no background? Does that make sense what my question is?
It kind of, I think it just depends on the individual drive of each student, because we can have probably, talk about experiences of both, where both be positive, both be more challenging. Mm-hmm. It probably just depends more on the individual for, I would say in that case. And they're both fun and exciting to work with, to polish them off. And, you know, what I like to share with them is when they leave here, it's like, okay, the learning begins, because, you know, they think, oh, okay, I got this credential, and so therefore I'm a full-fledged whatever, and say, you know, you have a fraction of a lifetime of more additional learning that you're going to run into.
You're very politically correct with that answer. I like that. You're able to avoid that. I had one of my mentors say, we're talking about that. He's like, you know, it's that some of these kids that have good backgrounds come in with a lot of bad habits. As long as they're willing to relearn the bad habits, it's okay. It's those that come in with bad habits that are staunch into maintaining the bad habits that are a little bit tougher to get through the end game.
They're very, very fun to work with. And I mean, we thoroughly enjoy investing in them, and we get a lot of joy out of seeing their successes when they leave and go out and be successful, right? But I mean, you as well as us have experienced all kinds of different types of students where some it just takes longer for them to turn the internal switch on, which is the motivation switch. And once that gets turned on, that's when it really becomes fun.
It is. That light bulb moment is what brings most educators back, I find. It's just that getting that moment where that light bulb kicks on. So I guess one final question about your guys' programs. You know, how many students are you graduating a semester? What size of program are you running?
Yeah, so total numbers for all of the students within our programs area, two-year auto, four-year auto, diesel, we probably have about 220 or plus or minus. We might graduate maybe 40 plus or minus every year. We graduate them in the spring and in the fall. We've had higher numbers and are driving right now to have higher numbers. We even have online 2+2 program for students who have earned their associate degree in either auto, collision, or diesel or ag equipment, that students could do that here face-to-face or even complete that online as well. So we have all kinds of different options.
Are your graduates really spiderwebbing out? You're getting a bigger and bigger reach of how far they're going? And, you know, I guess how many are leaving out, really getting out there, and how many are kind of staying within a 100-mile radius?
Probably for the duration of our program, which is decades and decades, our graduates have always spread across the globe for decades and decades. So you can pick a continent, you can pick a country, and we've probably had our graduates doing business for manufacturers. On there, one of our graduates I'm thinking of, when he went to work for Caterpillar, he has done business for Caterpillar in 34 countries. Another student that worked for Caterpillar, his first child that was born was a Canadian-American citizen. His second child was born was like a dual American Peru citizen. So they're all over the globe.
That's awesome. Well, gentlemen, I've had a lot of fun, but we've hit our time limit that they shut me down on. And so, everybody, that wraps up another episode of the Crop Science Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us today with our guest, Dr. Tim Dell, Professor of Diesel and Heavy Equipment Coordinator, and Dr. Chauncey Pennington, Associate Professor. Both of these gentlemen are out of Pittsburgh State University. Sorry, that slang gets me saying Pitt State. So Pittsburgh State University out of Southeast Kansas. You know, if you've enjoyed this podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you get notifications every time we drop a new video. Also, share this video with anybody that you might think would be interested, specifically interested in this program that these guys are putting on. It's an amazing program. Also, make sure you leave us a comment and make any suggestions for new guests. Well, Tim and Chauncey, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know you guys are rock and rolling in the middle of the semester, so I do appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.